Today is International Women's Day, part of Women's History Month, celebrating the vital role of women in American history. This is Lisa Berry, and there were many women who are tied to the historic beginnings of the city of Ann Arbor, and we're going to talk about the Three Marys and celebrate their contributions on this day. We're joined now by local historian and author of several books about the history of Ann Arbor. She's also a lawyer and a teacher, Patty Smith. Happy International Women's Day, Patty.
Happy International Women's Day, Lisa. There's no one I'd rather be spending it with than you.
All right. Well, can you tell us how big of a role women played in the history of Ann Arbor?
Women were here almost from the very beginning. And when, after the Mr. Allen and Mr. Rumsey founded the town that became the city, that is Ann Arbor, Mary Ann Rumsey, the wife of Elisha Rumsey, moved here fairly quickly. So women have always been here in the town. A good place to see that in the history books, it's not as obvious when you read the history of Washtenaw County. Where you can see women doing work is if you do what I do and read the old newspapers, and you will read all sorts of things that women did, from having gatherings and dinners and working at home. So there are always women here working. You just have to look a little bit harder sometimes just to find out about it.
Well, wasn't Mary Ann Rumsey, wasn't the city named after her?
Yes. So John Allen's wife was Ann Allen, and Ann Allen hated Ann Arbor. Like, what? I can't believe it. Well, she was from Virginia, and it was fancy. And she came to the frontier town of Ann Arbor. Mary Ann Rumsey, who went by Ann, is a wife. And they were in a Pleasant Arbor. Both their wives are named Ann. Why not? So that is partly how we got our name.
And how was Mary Ann Rumsey described?
Mary Ann Rumsey, unfortunately, no pictures exist of her or her husband, and that's such a loss because we just, you know, that's such a missing piece there. But we do know that before coming to Ann Arbor, Elisha and Mary Ann both lived in New York. Now, this, I'm not trying to start any rumors, Lisa, but what I read, and, you know, history is what it is. You have what you have. I did read one article that said they had to leave New York because of a scandal. Mm. And the scandal was that the two of them lived together before they got married. And so that may be the reason that they came west, but they ended up here. And Mary Ann was described by another strong woman named Mary Clark, wrote an article, and I'm just going to read the quote directly. She said that Mary Ann Rumsey was of remarkable and distinguished appearance, of energetic character, with a cheerful disposition, a disregard of hardships, and a resolute way of making the best of everything.
Aw, you know, I love that. What year are we talking about? What year was that said?
That was in 1852. That was published.
1852. And then you mentioned Mary Clark. She's one of the other Marys we want to talk about today. Tell us about her.
Mary Clark was born in 1813, and that was a time when a lot of people didn't go on in education, especially not women. There wasn't a lot of what we would consider like a middle high school education for girls. Mary Clark's father, however, sent her and her sisters to a girls' school called seminary. It's not a religious order. They just called it, that was the word they used, but a girls' school in New York. Mary graduated from there in 1837. Her family had moved to Brighton, Michigan. Mary came over, and she and her sister Chloe in 1839 opened the Mrs. Clark Seminary for Young Ladies in Ann Arbor.
And that was on North Division Street?
Yeah, it actually had a couple locations. I think what they had, it had about four or five actual physical locations. And the last location is Kingsley and Division. The building still is there. It's apartments now. What happened, I call it the 1880s GoFundMe, because what happened was their school, I know, right? Their school burnt down, and the editor of the paper put out this notice that said, you know, hey, the Clark School burned down. They had the second largest collection of books in the city, second only to the Carnegie Library. And they said, you know, how are we going to help them, Ann Arbor? And Ann Arbor stood up as one and donated money. And they had enough money to buy that lot and then rebuild the school.
And again, this is in the early 1800s.
Yeah, this was actually would have been probably, I think the fire happened in the 1850s. They, like I said, they started in 1839, and they, it wasn't like a finishing school, and nothing against those, right. But this school, you took algebra, you took geometry, chemistry, mythology, linguistics, ancient history, grammar. So this was a serious school educating some of the most prominent young women in the area and in the surrounding states.
And were the rules?
Oh, yes. So you could have gentlemen callers Friday or Saturday, and only with Mary Clark present there with you. And you could only shop Wednesdays or Saturday afternoon because they did not want, this was Ms. Clark's words, they did not want to promote an undue love of society, but rather acquaintance of the courtesies of life. So no shopping except on those days.
Okay. And then our third Mary, Mrs. Mary D. Mitchell. Tell us about her.
So Mary Mitchell was born in 1881 in Prattville, Michigan. She went to the Normal College, which is now Eastern Michigan University, and that was the huge teacher's college, still is, but especially back then. Started working after she graduated. She taught in Detroit. She taught in Dexter. She then taught, East Ann Arbor was its own municipality at one point, and their school district in East Ann Arbor was called District Number 9. And Mary Mitchell at some point came out here to Ann Arbor and started teaching in District 9, School Number 2, which is better known as Pittsfield Elementary, which is a stone's throw from my house. So it's so cool that it's not the same building, but it is there. And she taught there for, she was with District Number 9 for 18 years, became a principal, and then became superintendent of the district.
What year, what year we're thinking about for that?
Yeah, that was in the late 40s. So not a lot of women were necessarily, a lot of women teachers, but not necessarily as principals or as administrators or superintendents. So she served as superintendent, and then in 1947, she actually stepped back to go back into the classroom for 2 years. And she taught third and fourth grades. So I think that's really cool. It's not very often these days that a superintendent will retire from that and go back to being a teacher. And I think that says a lot about what a wonderful woman she wanted to get back with her kids. And then, of course, Mary D. Mitchell School, elementary school in Ann Arbor, is named after her. And I have to say, it's the best elementary school. It's the one where I work at. So I got to give a shout out to Mitchell.
So the school still exists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It is there. It is wonderful. And I just was in my classroom for a few hours. So it is there, carrying on the fine name of Mary D. Mitchell.
So you, Patty Smith, are a local historian. You've written several books about the Ann Arbor area's history, have you not?
Yeah, and actually, if you want to know more about the East Ann Arbor, which I think is very interesting, maybe because I live in the area, but Britton Woodman and I wrote Banishing Ann Arbor. It came out 2 years ago. That has a nice, lovely chapter on East Ann Arbor. You can also find Downtown Ann Arbor, which came out it's been a while now, 2015. And I'm working on the Michigan beer history book right now. So it'll touch on Ann Arbor, but it'll be the whole state of Michigan beer history.
So looking back at the history of women in Ann Arbor and looking at women now in 2021, have we come a long way, baby? Or what do you think?
Wow. Yeah, I think we have, because now, you know, we have our superintendent is of this huge district is female, and Ypsilanti Community School superintendent's female. And no one looks askance at that. It's just women are leaders. And so I think we have. And I just think it's cool. We're still out in education and in so many other fields. So I think we have. And you know, our city council has so many women on it, and the mayor of Ypsilanti is female. So our governor is female.
Right.
I mean, yes. Oh, yes. Keep going.
So you feel empowered and inspired on this International Women's Day.
I do, especially Mary Clark. I just feel this kinship with Mary Clark. And I think it's because we're both educators. I don't know. But they said until the day she passed away, she was out and about every single day. The only reason they knew, like, there was an afternoon that no one saw her, and they ran to her house, and she had just slipped away. But that's how involved she was. Like, a few hours went by, nobody saw her, and they're like, oh, my God, better check on her, and that had happened. So I feel this kinship with Mary Clark.
Well, Patty Smith, we appreciate your historic expertise on this International Women's Day and talking to us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. I can't wait till I can get back in the studio and station and see you guys. I miss you all so much.